Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to Three Terrible Gamers Podcast. This is episode 84, and I'm here with Colin.
Hey guys.
All right, we got a couple from last week, and we'll go ahead and get into those. Nintendo Switch Online got F-Zero on its list in its updates.
What is it, F-Zero Maximum Velocity?
Yep.
I believe so. Yeah, so it's a Game Boy title. It's... you know, for the Nintendo Switch Online, the expansion pass, because that's the one where the Game Boy Advance is on. So this was last week. So it said today's edition of, you know, Game Boy Advance lineup comes from the heels of Mario Day editions. It comes in from the original Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Mario Tennis Game Boy titles that landed a couple weeks back, but this time Nintendo is taking Game Boy Advance lineup into overdrive with the future classic mobile racing experience, which I didn't even know up until this point, but F-Zero had got a GBA release back in the day.
I didn't either, because we weren't really into the F-Zero franchise, so I mean, yeah, we knew about Captain Falcon and everything because of Smash Brothers, but
yeah,
I didn't really get into the F-Zero. I've still only played the GameCube F-Zero game, is it? And I've just played it a couple times.
You say I haven't even done that.
Yeah. So it just says the classic Game Boy Advance game F-Zero Maximum Velocity will make its debut on the Nintendo Switch system on March 29th. Like I said, it's last week, so it's already out, obviously, because time recording is April 5th. But it says available for everyone with the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack membership as part of the Game Boy Advance Nintendo Switch Online library. And it just tells you about the game and everything. Which, F-Zero is definitely a franchise that seems like Nintendo has forgot about. They did come out with F-Zero 99 a couple months ago, but other than that, they haven't seen a new game since the GameCube F-Zero GX or whatever in the early 2000s.
Say what, that was 03-04?
Yeah, something like that. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nintendo's just testing waters with different games now just to see what they can and don't want to bring back, per se.
Yeah, I think a good idea for them would be to remake F-Zero GX and sell it on the Switch and see if there's players interested. They could test that and then make a new one if it sells well. Because, I mean, it'd be better for them to make a remake and it flop than make a brand new game, put all the effort and money into a brand new game and it flop. So, I mean, a remake would make more sense if they're wanting to test the waters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, another way of testing the waters is with F-Zero 99 and this, because they can track how many people, you know, obviously had the expansion pass and is playing that title specifically.
Right.
So to see where the love is for the community of it, which of course, you know, there's a few people who may just hop on, you know, play it and don't want to play it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, that don't really tell you that number. I mean, yeah, you can look at reoccurring, you know, players or whatever. But at the end of the day, you're... does make more sense, but like I said, if they was to initially test it out and, you know, enough people praise F-Zero 99 and, you know, Maximum Velocity, that at that point they would go into, you know, remake stage potentially. and then see how the remake does, then bring out a new title after that.
Yeah, and I mean, really, as many Switches are out there, it's gotta suck very bad for a first-party Nintendo game to flop, because I mean, there's so many Switches out there, people would just buy it. I mean, that's usually, I mean, at least a few million anyway, and yeah, a few million might be a failure to some, but that's still a lot of copies sold.
Oh, yeah. Especially since if they was to do a remake, they would, you know, put a $60 tag on it.
Yeah, definitely. Which they did sell Metroid Prime Remastered for $40, but that's a rare occasion for Nintendo.
Yeah. And it's in the same generation as that.
Yeah, yep. Alright, some more layoffs. Certain Infinity layoff.
Yeah, the studio head wrote about the decision in a lengthy post on the developer's website, saying that the layoffs affect 25 US-based staff members and has the most impact on teams running our business operations. The Certain Affinity website says the company's currently has more than 250 full-time employees, meaning that move affects somewhere around 10% of its staff. Which, you know, it's one of the smaller layoffs that, you know, has occurred recently. For sure. The fact that it's 25, you know, it still sucks. But I think they also said it was the first time that a company has laid off in 17 years.
Yeah.
As well.
Let's see. It says, yeah, the decision marks the first time Certain Affinity has laid off team members since it was established in 2006. So, yeah, that's pretty good, especially for a game developer, because you never know how they're going to do, you know, how well their games are going to sell or anything. So that's actually pretty impressive. It still sucks that those 25 people lost their jobs, but like you said, it's a smaller layoff than what we've seen with Sony and Bungie and all of them, hundreds of people losing their jobs. So,
and business operations is typically like HR and stuff like that. It's not necessarily even the developers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically business operations would be a very, very broad spectrum though too.
What makes the business run? Because technically anything
that makes the company run would be an operation of the company.
Yeah. I mean, so the developers do make the company run. So it could be, you know, people from HR all the way down to developers.
Yeah. But definitely just saying business operations makes it seem like that it is just, you know, the office workers of the situation when in real. But it does say most. So obviously there is a mixture of different types of employees.
Right. But if you think about that, those would be the people that would be last to lose their job, usually.
Yeah. Because usually they're marked as the higher ups, right, quote unquote.
Yeah. Who knows? They didn't really specify exactly. That's what they said. So who knows?
But still, 17 years without having to lay somebody off is, you know, good. Still sucks that 25 people, you know, managed to do it this time around, but it's a common occurrence.
Yeah, right now. I mean, there's tons. I mean, it seems like at least once a month we're getting new layoffs. Sometimes, you know, more often than that.
For sure.
All right. So I sent this to you, and I just thought it was worth talking about because GameCube's my favorite system of all time, and it's really cool. This $15 device takes the GameCube online again.
Yeah, so obviously its competitors back in the day, PS2 and, you know, Xbox, had the capabilities of going online as well. GameCube was a little bit harder, had the capabilities, it just was never really brought to life.
Just a couple games, and the broadband adapter was so expensive.
Yeah. But WebHDX's ETH2GC is available in two variants, Sidecar and Life. The Sidecar version can be purchased either as a do-it-yourself for $35 were fully assembled for 45, while the... Oh, I said life. I meant light, my bad. My T turned into an F somehow.
Yeah, that's all right.
On one section of it. Autocorrect must have hit me a little bit.
Yeah.
But the light version has a $15 do-it-yourself option and a $25 assembled version. The sidecar one is more desirable as it can be installed out of the box without impeding the use of the Game Boy Advance accessory, which is that thing that was on Summers that you found in that house that
you guys had. It's one. Oh, it's right here, over here. It's on my orange one now. The same one.
Gotcha. But working in conjunction with the popular Swiss homebrew OS, the ETH2GC takes your GameCube online with relative ease and opens up the potential for some amazing fan-made projects. So, yet again, not much of a modder myself personally, but so I'm assuming that the do-it-yourself is going to involve soldering and stuff like that.
I haven't really seen, probably a little bit, which usually kits like that, it's pretty beginner-friendly soldering, so. But I'll, if once I find out, I can always let you guys know, keep you guys up to date, but I'm not exactly sure if it involves soldering or not. Most of the time, a DIY kit does involve a little bit of soldering.
Unless it specifically says plug and play.
Right. Yeah, or like you said, you can, for $10 more, you can get it fully assembled and you don't have to do any soldering. So for some people, that $10 is worth not messing up a $35 device.
Yeah.
But I thought this was pretty cool because, like it said, you could play some fan-made games, which there's people working on a multiplayer version of Twilight Princess. So you can play together on Twilight Princess online and then Mario Kart Double Dash as well. And I'm sure several other games like Super Mario Sunshine and other ones, Wind Waker, will come here in the future. Yeah, Melee, that'd be... You can already play Melee online on PC, which I've played a bunch, but not on a native GameCube like this.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was really interesting. Let's see. And they said it's going to be open source, which means just anybody can get the source code and make whatever they want for it. That's really cool. Probably definitely try it out because my orange GameCube, I have the GC loader in it, which has that Swiss that you was talking about. So all I have to do is get that adapter and I'd be able to play online with whatever.
Is that the Japan one, isn't it?
Huh?
Is that the one you got ordered from Japan?
The orange one, yeah. Alright, we'll move on. The Zelda movie director talks about the direction of the movie.
Everybody, quit saying that it's a Lord of the Rings spinoff or version of it. That's basically what the guy said, but he said a lot of things with it, so...
He did.
Ball said in his version of the live-action Zelda movie, which I guess this guy's done Planet of the Apes stuff and Maze Runner series.
Yeah, yep.
So his vision for the live action Zelda movie is, like I said, it's gonna be like 5 or 6 paragraphs, but this is all quotes from him. This awesome fantasy adventure movie that isn't like Lord of the Rings, like I just said at the beginning of it. He made that loud and clear. It's its own thing. I've always said I would love to see live action Miyazaki. That wonder and whimsy that brings to things, I would love to see something like that. It's going to be awesome. Ball continued, my whole life has led up to this moment. I grew up on Zelda, and it's the most important property. I think it's untapped IP, if you will. So we very much are working hard to do something. We're not trying to do it because we can, but because we want to make something really special. And like I said just a few seconds ago, Ball's best known for Hollywood directing Maze Runner movies, and then Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes specifically, which opens the theaters over Memorial Day weekend year. So I guess the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is going to be a new movie. Never really been a big fan of that series.
I haven't either. I haven't really seen a point in it, really.
We're working on the script, and whether it's a next one or not, it's hard to say exactly. You said that it's a Zelda movie, but certainly the plan is that Apes is done to have a little bit of rest in the moment and then dive into Zelda. So he's going to give it a break and then hop into it. Makes sense, but at the same time, it's what? And so he's, I think on the little pages I was on, said he was 43, so which means he would have started with Link of the Past, almost. Probably be time he was old enough to start playing video games.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. Like I said, never really watched any of his work, but obviously Sony and Nintendo trust him.
Yeah, which I guess he's not leaking any of the story or anything, but I just think it's weird that with the Mario movies, Nintendo don't let Illumination or anybody talk about it without them around. And here, this guy is allowed to talk about this movie. Like I said, he's not saying any of the story, but even like when Nintendo announced the new Mario movie last month, they done it in their own direct, and Illumination CEO was allowed to speak in the direct, but he's not allowed to speak off the air. But this guy apparently can talk however he wants. I don't know. It's just they don't take Zelda serious, or, you know, you think Nintendo would be kind of protective over the Zelda movie too, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the age-old battle of which one's the main Nintendo title, if it's Mario or Zelda, because, you know, they've been fighting since pretty much the year, you know, Zelda came out, 1 year after Mario. So, and it could be one of those things to where it is live action, so he has a little bit more leeway to talk about it, and he technically didn't do anything plot even related. He just said it wasn't like Lord of the Rings.
Which, I mean, I kind of could have told you that.
It's... Yeah. And to say that it was untapped, too, obviously they tried to tap into it, you know, in the 80s with the TV series.
Yeah. Which wasn't terrible for what it was.
No. I mean, it was comparably just as bad as the initial Mario cartoon, too.
Which I liked it, too.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're bad, but, you know, they was not well received.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely received more now than they were back then.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But yeah, it's, like I said, it's still weird that Sony's being involved in this as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could be another thing with it too, is Nintendo could have less say on this because Sony could have different restrictions for their director opposed to Illumination.
Yeah, maybe, but at the end of the day, it's Nintendo's IP, so...
True.
Who knows?
Like I said, whenever it starts doing legal stuff like that, it gets weird and screwy sometimes because, like I said, they can write a contract a certain way, and you have to follow it a certain way. That's probably what they did with Illumination. And then, you know, yet again, it's a contract, so both parties have to agree to it to an extent. So Sony could have been like, well, if our director can't talk about it, then we're not going to do it at all.
Yeah.
You know, something like that could have been as simple as that.
I mean, I think Nintendo would have been better off just letting Illumination do everything, just making an animated Zelda movie, but I mean, live action Zelda, yeah, that'd be cool if they can pull it off.
Yeah. Could you take risk with it being live action?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen a live action, you know, there's been no realistic base Zelda game or Mario. Nothing has been realistic base. It's different if they would do something like that with Metroid Prime. It's somewhat realistic.
Yeah, which I guess Twilight Princess was the most realistic that they had. Yeah. But still, it's... And the thing that people say is Link don't talk. But he did in the TV series, which it worked out there, but just where he don't talk because they want you... They want you to think that you are Link, so that's why he doesn't actually talk or whatever.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, I guess arguably, especially in like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, you can select dialogue that you would technically say back to people.
Yeah.
So I guess, to an extent, even though he's not getting a voice portrayed on that, you are still responding to people. It's not like he's out there signing to people.
He's just completely mute.
Yeah, he's just completely mute. So they're either really good at reading lips, or he's actually saying something, we just can't hear it on our end.
Yeah.
Because like you said, ever since the beginning, Nintendo has wanted you to put yourselves in Link's shoes, because yet again, that's why the initial creator had made it that way, because that was him and he made stuff like based around his childhood home.
Yeah.
That's how the game was based, and that's how he felt like Miyamoto. He was adventuring. Yeah. I want to say Miyamoto, but I couldn't quite remember that one.
Yeah.
Because he's left-handed, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why up until Breath of the Wild, you could put your name in if mm-hmm. you wanted to, because they wanted you to pretend that it was you or whatever on the adventure. But...
Yeah. Because all the text that come through would be your name up until that point.
Of course. Like anything, people abused that and made some pretty funny scenarios with the name column.
That's also true. But now that you can't do that, they decide to make different things with stuff that you can build, especially on Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, man. Have you seen some of the stuff they make is crazy? The way they torture the Koroks.
Yeah.
Like sacrificing them. And
people are definitely on the FBI's watch list now.
Yeah. There's... I'm not that creative, but so I just watched some of that stuff on Reddit and I'm amazed. And like, how much time did that take? And how sick in the head can you be to make something like that?
I mean, to spend probably hours doing it.
Yeah. It's dedication for torture.
Need to get their anger out.
Yeah. All right.
Koroks are annoying anyways.
They are. I don't disagree with torturing them, just the way that they do it. All right, new Xbox controller leaks. It's not the new one that we was talking about a couple months ago with the rechargeable battery and stuff, but it's
a variant.
Yeah.
The next Xbox controller will be called the Nocturnal Vapor.
Yeah.
And it's likely to hit the market the first half of April, so probably within the next week or two. A well-known leaker has said the insider also shared some of the details about the upcoming Xbox accessory, whose feature is set to be rumored directly to the DualSense controller from Sony. While many Microsoft-made gamepads leak ahead of their market debuts, that ordinarily only occurs a few weeks before they're released, at most. In contrast, this upcoming Xbox controller emerged online way back in September 2023, following the mishap by the FTC, which accidentally published a number of Microsoft-classified documents during its legal battle with the company over the Activision Blizzard acquisition. Unredacted material, that was a big word that I couldn't quite think to get out for a second, revealed the black and white design of the device and confirmed that its DualSense like haptic feedback supports on top of listing its internal code name Siebel.
Yeah, that's the one that we talked about before. It was the Sebel or Siebel, whatever.
Yeah.
But this one's just, like you said, the Nocturnal Vapor. It's just really not much of a difference. It's just a different color. It's like a dark army green that I've seen. I mean, it looks good, but it's a different color. And it said available.
Being the fact of its capabilities, do you think it's going to be like a $80 controller compared to a $60?
Probably.
Or not higher.
Yeah, I don't know. 80.
What are the pros? Almost 200?
Yeah.
Or their version of pro anyways, I guess I should say.
The Elite.
Yeah, the Elite.
Yeah, I mean, probably around $80, I would say. But this one here says available for pre-order. Well, it was available pre-order the 2nd of April. So, time of recording, 3 days ago.
Since we only do this once a week instead of once a day.
Yeah. Well, it says the release date itself will be on the 9th of April, which at the time of recording is 4 days from now.
Yeah, my article didn't say that.
Yeah. So, actually, the day this comes out, it'll be available. The release date. And it says, for the time being, it will be available in Europe as well as the United States. So it doesn't say anything about Japan yet. So who knows, which Xbox doesn't do great in Japan. So maybe they just won't even fool with it.
It's not really their head market.
Yeah. Alright, this one. Kind of not a game related, which Apple does have Apple Arcade stuff. I just mainly put it in here because we've talked about the FTC so much. They're finally leaving Microsoft alone for now, and they're suing Apple in court, which we talked about Apple before with Epic and everything. So, kind of gaming related, kind of not.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to a sense, kind of like the Epic situation. It may not be like their proceeds from it, but it's the fact that Apple, which I'm sure it'll wind up coming after Android too, because Android does the same thing.
Right, yep.
So it's caused by having free games on the App Store. You know, everyone can go down there and download the app for free. And then, you know, obviously the fact that they have in-app purchases. And so it's not, like Ashton said, it's not necessarily just related to video games. Obviously, it goes down to, you know, gaming titles that you can download stuff, like Warzone now. You can,
yeah.
It's a free game to download, but obviously you can make in-app purchases on Warzone.
Yep.
Because obviously I can't use Fortnite as an example because they're not on the App Store anymore. So Warzone is my next contender just because it just came out.
Yeah.
So, you know, you download Warzone, free, completely free. It's free to play. But they don't disclose good enough that, which, I mean, it was an issue whenever I had an iPhone. I've had an Android for a while now. But, you know, for a while it's been, oh yeah, this thing's free to play, but, you know, there's in-app purchases, you know, and especially games that are designed towards kids and stuff. Go on there and, you know, typically kids are linked to their parents' account in some way, shape, or form. Somehow wind up getting, you know, credit cards on their phones, or they take their parents' phone and download, you know, buy stuff, and then parents are like, where'd my money go?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just to combat that a little bit. That and the FTC's already fined Apple for this, and Apple hasn't paid yet. So, another reason why they're taking them to court. So Apple was just like, screw you, I didn't do anything wrong, because everybody does this, which is not wrong.
No. And it clearly says when you download the app, contains in that purchase. So they do tell you that.
It does say that. But, you know, they're thinking, you know, more along the lines of kids and adults that don't really read stuff.
Right. And to me, Yeah, it's Apple's App Store. But like I said, Google Play does the same thing. Other app stores do the same thing. So to me, it's not even an Apple issue. It's more on the app developers' issue. Because if they're saying all this app's free, but you charge in-app purchases, that's not Apple's fault that they chose to use in-app purchases. They just have it on their app store. So to me, that's the app developer's problem, not Apple's or Google's or whoever's.
But also true.
The FTC being who they are, kind of stupid here lately. Who knows what their thought process is behind it. But
now just Sony has something to do with it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. They always, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, them and the FTC. But the article I have here, it says the lawsuit filed in federal court in New Jersey alleges that Apple has monopoly power in the smartphone market and leverages control over the iPhone to engage in a broad, sustained, and illegal course of conduct. Apple has locked its consumers into the iPhone while locking its competitors out of the market, said Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, stalling the advancement of the very market it revolutionized, she said. It has smothered an entire industry. And then Apple called the lawsuit wrong on the facts and the law, and it said it will vigorously defend against it. The suit takes aim at how Apple alleges molds its technology and business relationships to extract more money from consumers, developers, content creators, artists, publishers, small businesses, and merchants, among others. The Apple App Store has been the same since it came out on the first iPhone, and they're just now having issues with it. I don't understand it. Google Play Store has been the exact same since it came out, whenever it came out, and they're just now having issues with it.
I'm going to make it about gaming because Xbox and PlayStation occasionally has free games. What can you do in those games? You can buy in-game content. Everybody does it.
What's Fortnite? Is it free? And you can buy things in it? Go shut Fortnite down. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not necessarily... I mean, is it wrong to an extent? Both parties are to an extent, yes. But does Apple have it in plain as day writing that this thing contains in-app purchases in fine print? Or still right there underneath the logo. Yes. But it's one of those things. Yet again, FTC just wants money from somebody.
Yeah, because they lost so much during the Activision lawsuit.
Because literally everybody does it. They're like the freaking restaurants calling stuff boneless wings when they're nuggets.
Yeah.
Technically, there's no such thing as a boneless wing.
No.
They're all nuggets.
Yeah. And like you said, Sony, Xbox, even Nintendo, they have free stuff on their eShop. Free games that have in-app purchases. Maybe they're not made by Nintendo, but most of the apps that they're talking about aren't made by Apple either. So like I said, it should be the app developer getting sued, not Apple. Just because Apple has it on their app store, so does Google, so does Xbox, so does Sony, so does Nintendo. So it don't make any sense. The FTC is a joke.
The whole industry does it.
Exactly. So how does that make Apple a monopoly controlling consumers? And it's so stupid. In my opinion, it's stupid. But that's all the time we have. We appreciate you guys for watching and listening. Remember, you can always watch us live on Twitch and YouTube, not Kick. Twitch and YouTube. Listen to us on we're pretty much on every podcasting platform at this point, as you guys know. Join our Discord, all of our podcast socials, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok,
Instagram,
pretty much all of them. Buy our merch on Redbubble. Colin, you have anything?
I think that's it.
All right. We appreciate you guys for listening. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Later, guys.